Joshua chapter 15. And our text for this evening is the verse 19. As we mentioned this morning, our subject tonight is ask, and you shall receive. In verse 19, Aksa, Caleb's daughter, said to her father, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, will always be remembered as the man who wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. He followed the Lord fully. And to that man, the Lord had made a promise. A promise that he made to Caleb the day that he brought back a true report from his spying mission of Canaan. 12 spies, as you know, had been sent out, one representing each of the tribes. Only 2 came back with a true and honest report. The other, the Lord described them as bringing back an evil report. And the Lord made a promise to Caleb that he would give to Caleb wherever his foot had trodden as he went throughout Canaan in his spying mission. And as the land of Canaan was being divided up now among the tribes of Israel, Caleb reminded Joshua of that promise. Joshua 14, verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Verse 9. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance. There's the promise. And thy children's forever, because thou hast followed the Lord fully. Now that was 45 years ago. And as we have noted in these past couple of weeks, 45 years since the promise was given, but Caleb held on to it all that time. And here we find him 45 years later, claiming that promise that the Lord made to him through Moses. For we read in Joshua 14, verse 10, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. As he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word. Even since the Lord spake this word. 45 years, and now the time had come for that promise to be fulfilled. Joshua 14, verse 12. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced so it, be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Caleb now claims the promise. 45 years later, he didn't forget about it. He remembered it all that time. And now he says to Joshua, give me this mountain. As we pointed out, Caleb lived up to his name whenever he claimed this promise. Because you see, Caleb means bold. Caleb was bold in asking for this promise to be fulfilled. Look at the words in verse 12 of Joshua 14. Now therefore give me this mountain. Caleb didn't say, after 45 years waiting, give me this mountain. No. He said, now therefore give me this mountain. In other words, Caleb was being bold and asking the Lord to fulfill his promise, and Caleb wanted the promise fulfilled now. So with great boldness he said, now therefore give me this mountain. After waiting a long time for God to fulfill a promise, Caleb wanted it fulfilled, and he wanted it fulfilled now. As I said last Wednesday night in our prayer meeting, maybe that's how we need to be in our prayers. We need to be a little more bold. The Lord has given you a promise. How long has that promise stood? How long have you been waiting for that promise to be fulfilled? Perhaps now is the time to come before the Lord and say, now, Lord, give me this mountain in my life. Indeed, the Word of God calls upon us to be bold in prayer. Hebrews 10, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ. That's what gives us that boldness, is the blood of Christ. So when we enter into the holiest, we enter into the place of prayer, and we come before the throne of grace, we may do so with boldness and plead the merits of the blood. And when the Lord has given us a promise, God must fulfill that promise. And of course he will, because he always keeps his promise. Boldness with reverence, of course. Boldness with reverence, and we will be given our promised mountain as Caleb was given his. So let us be a little more bold in our praying. The mountain that Caleb received was the mountain called Hebron. Most appropriate for a man who had followed the Lord fully for over 45 years. He was following the Lord fully before he became a spy. Caleb followed the Lord for many, many years of his life, followed the Lord fully. And he claimed the mountain, saying, give me this mountain. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. And the mountain was the mountain of Hebron. Hebron means fellowship. How appropriate. For a man who had followed the Lord fully, a man knew all about fellowship with God. When you follow the Lord fully, you know all about fellowship with God. If, on the other hand, we are like Peter at that time when he followed the Lord, but he followed the Lord afar off, there's no fellowship there. If we follow the Lord afar off, there's no fellowship. But if we follow the Lord fully, And we have already learned in this study of Caleb and his following, when he followed the Lord wholly, it means completely. Caleb was sold out to God. As we sang there that hymn a few weeks ago, nothing between my soul and the Savior. There was nothing between Caleb's soul and the Savior. He knew what it was to fellowship with God, and whenever he said, give me this mountain, he was given the mountain called Hebron, which means fellowship, and Caleb continued in fellowship with God. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we desire? To have fellowship with God. So we're told here in these verses what Caleb received from the Lord. Ask, and you shall receive. He asked for a mountain, and the Lord gave him a mountain. So that's what Caleb asked for, and he received. And then we also read here about Caleb's daughter, Aksa. Caleb's daughter, Aksa, she also asked. And what do you know? She also received. And what did the dear Savior tell us? Everyone that asketh, receiveth. Ask and receive. Simple, isn't it? So as we consider this portion of Scripture tonight with the thought of asking and receiving, I want to consider, first of all, Caleb and his conquest. Caleb and his conquest. Mention is made of what the Lord gave to his servant, Caleb. Chapter 15, and there in verse 13, and unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah. The tribe of Judah received their inheritance, but here in verse 13, Caleb is singled out from the rest of Judah. Because he was a man who followed the Lord fully. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? A man or a woman who follows the Lord fully will stand out from everybody else. He'll stand out from all others. Caleb stood out. And here, the focus is upon Caleb. He gave a part among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord. There's the vow was made unto Caleb. The Lord vowed to give Caleb where his feet had trodden when he spied out the promised land. Numbers 13, verse 22. Joshua 14, verse 9. We read that verse in Joshua 14 and verse 9 tonight. And here in Joshua 15 and verse 13, we see that the Lord kept his word, as he always does, of course. He kept his word, what he had vowed to give to Caleb for an inheritance. Mark the words. He gave according to the commandment of the Lord. He gave according to the commandment of the Lord. In other words, what the Lord said in his word, that's what he gave. He didn't shortchange Caleb, to use an everyday expression. He didn't hold back anything from Caleb. What Caleb asked for, the Lord gave him. And you know, if you and I pray, and pray in the Lord's name, and plead the merits of the blood, and pray in accordance with God's will and God's mind, God will give us what we ask for. He will. He gave according to the commandment of the Lord. So whatever the Lord has promised to give us, we have only to ask. How often have we used that phrase in our everyday life? We've said to some friend of ours, listen, if you need a helping hand, you've only to ask. Well, listen. What the Lord has promised us, we've only to ask. James 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth. See? Let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. Twice in the one verse we have the word give or given, as though to emphasize that our God is a giving God. He's a giving God. Ask, and he will give. Luke 11, verse 13. How much more, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? And so our God is more willing to give to us than we are to give to our children. So what do you think of that? Say to our children and about our children, we'll do anything for you. Whatever you want, we will do it for you. We'll give it to you. And we do it with a heart and a half. Well, listen. The Lord is more willing to give to us than we are to give to our children. If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? There it is again. Ask and give. Ask and give. Let us learn from Caleb. The Lord promised him a mountain. He asked for a mountain, and the Lord gave him a mountain. You couldn't beat that. So you have the vow in Caleb. Next, you have the valor of Caleb. As we have seen, the mountain that the Lord gave to Caleb was Hebron. It was also known by another name, the city of Arba. And we are told that Arba was the father of Anak, Joshua 15, verse 13. Now we may ask, what was particular about Anak? Remember the evil report brought back by the 10 spies? They made mention of Anak. Numbers 13, verse 33. And here was their report. They came back saying, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. That was the report the 10 spies brought. We saw the giants of Anak, and we were but grasshoppers in their sight. And that's why they said, no, we can't go up. We dare not go and possess the land because the giants are there. The sight of the Anakims frightened the 10 spies, but it didn't frighten Caleb. That's what makes this man such a great man. Didn't frighten Caleb. We look there in Joshua 14 and verse 12. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there. the giants, and that the cities were great and fenced. So if so be the Lord will be with me, then I will be able to drive them out. As the Lord said, Caleb the lion heart. The 10 spies saw the Anakims, those giants, and said, we're but grasshoppers in their sight, and their cities are all fenced. We have no hope against them. Caleb knew all about the giants. And Caleb said, if so be the Lord will be with me. And those words do not mean that Caleb had a doubt about the Lord being with him. He was stating a fact, the Lord will be with me. And the Lord being with me, I'll drive them out. How will Caleb, how was he going to drive them out? Because he knew he'd have the Lord's presence. Isn't that what he says? If so be, the Lord will be with me. My, whenever you have the Lord with you, you can face many a giant. When you have the Lord with you, you will slay many a giant. And here Caleb says, I'll be able to drive them out because the Lord will be with me. The 10 spies never thought about the Lord. They were going to go forth depending on the arm of flesh. Caleb was depending on the Lord. That's why he was a man who followed the Lord fully. Reminds us, does it not, of David, 17-year-old David, when he was sent by his father to see how his brethren were doing in the battle between Israel and the Philistines. And when he got there, he saw this giant of a man defying the armies of Israel. And young David was put to shame. Is there not a cause? David says, well, I'll go out and face him. And there were those who were doubtful. His own brothers laughed at him. Away home and look after your sheep. Well, David told the story. He spoke about a bear that came to take a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. And thy servant slew both a lion and a bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. What did Saul say? And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. That's it. Go, and the Lord be with thee. How was David able to slay Goliath? Because the Lord was with him. Hallelujah. As I said before, when you have the Lord with you and you have the Lord's presence, you can slay many a giant. The giants in your life, you know what they are. The giants in your life may be as fearsome as Goliath or the giants of Anak, but go against that giant and go against him in the Lord's name and with the Lord's presence, and you will be the victor. You need not fear any giant in your life. There's no need to fear any giant in your life when you have the Lord with you. Caleb showed no fear, because of the Lord's presence. David, in that very comforting psalm, verse 4, said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." To many, death is a giant. They dread the giant called death. But with the Lord's presence, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Why? Because thou art with me. There's his presence. Caleb was a brave heart and was ready to face the giants, not only because of the Lord's presence, but because of the Lord's power. Caleb knew that the battle would not be his, but it would be the Lord's. "If so be, the Lord will be with me. Then I will be able." Then I will be able. The Lord would enable him to put the giants to flight. The Lord's power. How we need the Lord's power in our lives. When God's people pray for this preacher, I can say, "I thank you for your prayers." But one prayer I would always request: pray the Lord will give me power. Power. Holy Ghost, heaven sent power. Devil defeating power. Hell shaking power. Pray for power. Caleb knew the Lord's power, as Hezekiah knew the Lord's power. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 8. Hezekiah had been threatened by Sennacherib. What did Hezekiah say? "With him," with Sennacherib, "with him is an arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us to fight our battles." That's what we need. We need the power of the God of Israel. And when we have the power of the God of Israel, there's not a giant that can stand in our way. Not one. We can have an army of giants as big as Goliath, and with God's presence and God's power, we'll be able to slay every one of them, as Caleb did. What are the giants in your life? You know them. Is it the giant of a hot temper? When suddenly a hot temper rises up and that giant slays you every time, because you regret losing your temper, losing your head, as we would say. Perhaps it's the giant of worry. That's a giant, isn't it, in many a person's life. It looms there. They see it every day, especially at night when they waken up and it's dark and they begin to worry. And what they're worrying about seems to be worse at night than it is during the day. That's a giant. A giant of worry that reduces you to a nervous wreck. Perhaps it's the giant of a loose tongue. how that can slay the Christian. Well, Caleb here shows us the answer. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. It's great having the word, isn't it? As the Lord said. Yes, the Lord's presence. By the Lord's power, we can drive out the giants in our lives. For Paul said, I can do all things. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The vow and Caleb, the valor of Caleb going out against the giants, the victory of Caleb. Caleb's faith and confidence in God led to victory over the giants of Anak. Chapter 15, verse 14. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, the giants, remember. Caleb, one man, drove thence Sheshai, Ahiman, Talmai, the children of Anak. One man drove out three giants. See? Doesn't matter what the odds are against you. And you have the Lord with you, you're in the majority. You're in the majority. Leviticus 28, verse 6. The Lord told Moses, five of you shall chase 100. And 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. They're not very good odds, are they? 5 against 100. 100 against 10,000, and yet with the Lord, 5 will put 100 to flight, and 100 will chase 10,000. The Lord is the one who makes the difference. He always makes the difference. You'll never be able to slay the giants on your own. No, sir. And we can put to flight the greatest enemy of our souls, who appears to us as a giant at times, as he so often seems to gain the victory. He's called the devil, Satan, serpent, dragon, liar. James 4, verse 7. Resist the devil and he will flee. Just what Caleb did with the giants. He caused the giants to flee. He chased them. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That giant doesn't need to have the victory and get the victory in your life or in mine. With the Lord's presence and the Lord's power, we can chase them. Notice that when Caleb put the giants to flight, something else here tells us that he went forward. Caleb had claimed the mountain called Hebron, and had driven out the giants. And whenever he did that, we're told, and he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, verse 15. I like those words. He drove out the children of Anak and went up. From one mountain, Mount Hebron, he was going up further. He went up to Debir. Isn't there a wonderful lesson there? Caleb wasn't satisfied with being on Hebron, the mountain of Hebron. He wanted to get higher. From Mount Hebron, he was going up, we read. He was going up. What a testimony for this man who fully followed the Lord. Remember something. He's 85 years of age now. But he's not satisfied. He's still going up. He wants to get to higher ground. He's 85. He's an old man. But he still wants to go on. And he still wants to go up. And he still wants to go forward. Oh, that the Lord would make us men and women who follow the Lord fully. Because when you follow the Lord fully, there's no mediocrity in your life. There's no such a thing as saying, well, that'll do. There's no such a thing as saying, well, I've gone far enough. No. No, sir. Caleb got to one mountain, and then we read, and he went up. Teaches us that we ought to be like Caleb in a spiritual sense. We want to go up and get to higher ground with God. Remember what Paul said? Wonderful words by Paul in Philippians 3 and verse 10. Now, when Paul wrote the epistle to the Philippians, he was an old man. He was an old man. Like Caleb. But you know what this old man Paul said? That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Imagine. He's an aged apostle, and yet what's his prayer? That I might know him. He wanted to know him in a deeper, fuller way. Paul was still wanting to go up. Do we not want to go up and get to higher ground with God? Where the air is pure and ethereal. Get away from the atmosphere, the language, and the behavior of the world. Lord, take me up to higher ground. That's why we sang that hymn tonight. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane. A higher plane than I have found. Higher than where I've been before. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Don't you love that man, Caleb, who followed the Lord fully, completely, with nothing between his soul and the Savior? If Caleb and his challenge, Caleb and his conquest, Caleb and his challenge. Caleb, as we have read, went up to the inhabitants of Debir, verse 15. And speaking to those who were with him, he put forth a challenge. Verse 16. He's gone up to Debir, before was Kirjath-Sefer. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath-Sefer and taketh it, there's the challenge, to him will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife. I don't think I'll get this all finished tonight, but we'll see how it goes. Here you have the proposal. He proposed to reward the man who would smite the city. Now remember something. These words come from a man who for more than 45 years followed the Lord fully. These words came from a man who had just driven out the giants of Anak. These words came from a man who was 85 years of age and was still going up. To me, it's no coincidence that when Caleb did all those things, and when we read about him going up, that he issued this challenge. Do you know what I think? I think that here Caleb had set a good example. He was a man of 85 years of age. And he set the rest of the men of Judah a good example. And now he challenges someone else to do what he did. Now he challenges someone in the tribe of Judah. He that smiteth Kirjath-Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa my daughter to wife. There was the challenge. He wanted someone in the tribe of Judah to follow his example. It's not a bad idea. Because my, what an example they had before them. Man who followed the Lord fully. Man at 85 was still climbing mountains. A man at 85 was still driving out giants. A man who was still following the Lord fully. He set the men in his tribe a good example. And he was really saying, now follow me. It reminds me of Paul. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians in his first letter, said, wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. The word followers, be ye followers of me, that word follower means to imitate. And Paul is saying to the Corinthian believers, I want you to imitate me. I want you to follow me. And so Caleb challenged someone in the tribe of Judah to imitate him, to follow his example. To be a follower of the Lord and to follow the Lord fully. Sunday school, sing that little chorus. The first verse may not be doctrinally correct, but you get the gist. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me. The world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. That's what Paul was saying. That's what Caleb was saying. Follow me. Follow my example. Imitate me. Don't you love to read biographies and autobiographies of great men? every time I go to a week of prayer, whenever I'm traveling or flying somewhere, I always bring something about Robert Murray McShane. Holy McShane. The last one was by a man called Lamb. Mr. Lamb was an elder of Robert Murray McShane's church in Dundee in Scotland, St. Peter's Church in Dundee in Scotland. And he kept a diary of his attendance to that church. I tell you, it thrilled your soul to read it. Talk about stirring you up. And you look at someone like McShane. I tell you, make you wonder if you're a follower of the Lamb yourself at all. Holy McShane called him. He died in his 30th year. He was 29. When you read the life of McShane, it stirs your soul. When you read the life of Andrew Bonner, McShane's good friend, it would stir your soul. You read the life of George Whitfield, stir your soul. David Brainard, the missionary to the Indians, stir your soul. You read the life of Caleb. I mean, read it. And study it and get into it. It will stir your soul. And you'll say, I would like to be like Caleb. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, be ye followers of me. Later on in that letter to the Corinthians, he added something to those words. He said, be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. That's it. Yes, follow me because I'm following Christ. Imitate me and my life because I'm imitating Christ. That's where we are. Are we willing to be imitators of Paul? Imitators of Caleb? But take it a step higher. Do we want to be imitators of Christ? Our time has beaten us, and we'll have to finish this next week. But such a wonderful man is Caleb. And we'll see what happens then. When Othniel took up the challenge and went and captured Kirjath Sefer. And how he was given Caleb's daughter. I think Othniel fancied Caleb's daughter anyway before this. That's why he went out against Kirjath Sefer. But anyway, and then how they came to Caleb afterwards and asked for springs of water. Asked, and ye shall receive. Sorry, the time has beaten us tonight, but let's bow our heads together in prayer. O our Father and our God, we bless thee for a man like Caleb. Followed the Lord fully, followed him completely, followed him as a man sold out to God. not satisfied with where he was, but wanted to get higher. There he was in one mountain, but wanted to get to even higher ground. And there was Paul, mighty, mighty man, and yet still his prayer was that I might know him. Oh, that we might pray to that end also, that I might know him. We might be followers of Paul as he was of Christ. That we might be followers of Caleb as he was of the Lord God of Israel. We might learn to know what it is to ask and to receive, to be bold in prayer. Lord, write this word upon our hearts. May we not readily forget it. Help us, Lord, to meditate upon it. Lord, bless all our visitors tonight. We thank thee for each one. And as they make their way home, Lord, this week, may thy good hand be upon each one. Remember, Lord, the funerals of those that we know of too. Shall take place this week. May hearts be spoken to, and may souls be saved. Now, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, abide and remain with us now. And until the day breaks, and the shadows all flee away. Amen.